Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's hard to deny that this world is filled with a great deal of noise. Every direction you turn, every place you go, the din goes on. It is getting harder and harder to find a place where there is peace and quiet. For many in this world, the Christian church and her pastors are just one more noisy cymbal, one more clanging gong or ringing bell that is always calling out for morality, for repentance, and interrupting the world's search for pleasure. But they're wrong. It is not noise that the church and her pastor speak. It is the prophecy of God, the love and mercy of Jesus that we speak. Someone must speak of Christ. If the pastors are silent, then the church, the laity, must rise up as they are also called to do, to give a reason for the hope that is in you. But if they are silent too, then the very stones, the creation itself, must cry out. That's the central point of this text that you have heard from St. Luke. No matter how much the world protests and tries to silence the church and her pastors and her Lord, God will not be left without a voice. Jesus Christ will be confessed as Lord and King, even if it's the creation that must speak. Perhaps it is precisely because the hearts of so many have grown cold and their lips and tongues have stopped confessing that the earth is groaning all the more now than it ever has before. The Pharisees of our day don't stand on the road and try and silence Jesus as they did in his day. But those who are self-righteous, those who do not understand justification by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, along with all the devil and his angels and the many people who do not believe in a God at all, who do not believe in a devil at all of these would like nothing more than for there to be silence on earth. Not the kind of silence you're looking for, but silence about Jesus Christ as God and man, as Lord and King, as only Savior from sin. Many in the church go along with what they believe and teach. And sadly, as more and more preachers talk and talk about anything and everything other than Jesus Christ crucified and risen from the dead for the salvation of the world by his holy body and his given blood, well, the more the volume increases, but theirs is only noise. It doesn't sound any different than that the world makes. The true message is squelched, and the enemy's evil plans succeed and are realized, and people's faith in Christ grows cold and dies. While it appears that believers on earth continue to decrease, that the church in our presence continues to shrink, while the devil continues to attack and scatter the flock, you can be reassured that Jesus is not defeated. The song still goes on. The hymn of blessing and peace is still sung, it may be with a still small voice instead of a loud booming one. It is for this very reason, though, that the traditional reading for this first Sunday in Advent, for the first Sunday of a new year, is the story of Palm Sunday and Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem at the start of Holy Week. We start Advent focusing our attention already on how it is going to end. We will think on the incarnation and the manger. We will celebrate Jesus' birth in just a month. But the cross from day one is already in view. All sentimentality will be set aside. Jesus was born into this world in order to die. He was born in order to die, in order to save you. And as he enters Jerusalem amid shouts of Hosanna, we know far too well what would happen by the end of the week. His suffering and death because of us and for us. But this text also reminds us that just as God fulfilled his Old Testament promise to Adam and Eve that he would send a Savior, God in human flesh, we are reminded that Jesus has made promises too. That he will come again to judge the living and the dead. That he will come again and take believers to be with him in paradise. And just as God fulfilled his promises of the Old Testament, just as the prophecies were fulfilled in Jesus, so too will Jesus' words be fulfilled. He will come again. He will judge the living and the dead. It is during Holy Week, the setting of this text, that we are warned as Christians to watch for the signs of his return, to be prepared by staying awake, by prayer, that is, by repentance and faith, because the time is drawing near and the end is at hand. During the same week, on Thursday, Jesus institutes his supper, his meal to feed and nourish believers while they wait for him, that he could still be present with us in his flesh and blood, just in a different way than he was when he walked on the earth. Still just as real, though. This text helps us focus our attention away from the noise and the empty words of this world, away from the false preachers of this world who refuse to talk about sin and death and Jesus as Savior from sin and death. These words of this text focus our attention to the song of the multitude in heaven and for those many believers on the earth as they greet their Lord and King. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. There's a great piece of artwork, a copy of which lies in the center of my desk underneath a piece of glass that is there. Sometime in the next 6 months, I hope to be able to see the picture again. The picture shows the multitudes of people from every tribe, language, and nation being caught up into the clouds, looking to their triune God, and what they see is Jesus Christ crucified. The picture perfectly depicts the eternal now of God's existence, the creation, the fall, the promise of the Savior, the manger, Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Easter, the Ascension, the Day of Judgment. They're all rolled into one. And at the very center stands the cross of Jesus. For he is the center of all life and history. The work is so vivid that you can almost see the multitude of unbelievers being sucked down into the earth by the demons clawing at their ankles. You can almost hear the crowds of the faithful as they wave their palm branches and sing the song of heaven, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." I wish the picture were that clear for our eyes to see in what we see in this world. On earth and in time, with our clouded vision, that eternal picture is not very clear. The words are not so jubilant. The crowd doesn't seem so boisterous or so loud. At times, the song of heaven is almost drowned out entirely by the noise of the devil, the world, and even worse than that, by our own sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. You know that the joy of Palm Sunday turns into the grief and despair and angry words of Good Friday. Crucify him, crucify him. They no longer cried out that Jesus was their Lord and King. The disciples could not be found out in the open for fear of their own capture and death. But then the sky spoke. The sun refused to shine. The moon, too, was turned as if it were blood. The stones broke open, and God's creation opened its mouth and shook in protest as the Lord of creation was nailed to a tree and died. God is not left without a voice to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. On that day, it was the creation first, and then it was the centurion there at the foot of the cross, and then it was the women, and then finally it was the preachers. The Pharisees couldn't silence Jesus or his followers on Palm Sunday, but on that day, on the day of the cross, they were satisfied that they had silenced him and all those who follow him once and for all. The devil rejoiced on that day as if he were the victor of a great battle, and the Father in heaven did the unthinkable. He intentionally poured out his stored up wrath on his only Son for sins that his Son did not commit. It is in that moment, the central point of all history, the moment of the cross, that God's promises are fulfilled, and that the prophetic words of the crowds on Palm Sunday are realized: peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It is in the moment of the cross that the words of the angels outside of Bethlehem on that wonder-filled night finally make sense and are brought to their completion. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, there can be no peace until peace is made between God and man. And Jesus' sacrificial death, his holy offering of his precious body and blood, his innocent suffering and death, that is what made peace between God and man. Peace in heaven and peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. But that's not the end of the story. Jesus did not stay in the tomb. The earth shook again, and the stone was rolled away, and the angels from heaven brought good news again. And Jesus found his followers, and he gave them their voice. He opened their lips to declare his resurrection, to declare his praise. God told us what he would do, and then he did it. He promised a Savior, and a Savior he sent. Now that Savior has told us that he goes away for a while, but that he will return again, that he will come and judge the living and the dead, and you can believe that he will do it. God's purposes have not and will not fail. He will not be left without a voice to proclaim his Son in the midst of the noise of this world. The only real question is, will you be part of that choir? The noise of this world will never silence the melody of heaven. Many on earth will stop singing. Many will stop confessing Christ. Many will fall away before the end. But the church's song of Christ will go on. God will have a voice in his creation. His word will not fail. The good news of the free forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ is not a fad. It's not a worldview that will change and morph or go away tomorrow. This news is the truth. He is your salvation. Your sins, absolutely all of them, have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no longer any condemnation for those who are baptized into Christ, who are turned in repentance by Christ, who confess their sins against Christ, and then trust in him to save. It is the advent of our King. If only we were as bold as the stones. If only we were as willing as the donkey. If only we were unafraid and as sure of our Creator and Savior as they are. Thanks be to God that we do not have to seek him out. For what lawbreaker goes and seeks out the judge? But rather that he seeks and calls to us. Thanks be to God that he has given us parents to teach and correct and care for us. A pastor to preach God's word of law to us and then to speak God's absolution to our sin. That he has called and gathered us, given us a family, a congregation of fellow forgiven sinners to share our joys and to help us carry our burdens. That's what the advent of our King is about. Once he came in blessing, all our sins redressing, now he gently leads us. With himself he feeds us. Soon will come that hour when with mighty power Christ will come in splendor and will judgment render. Our prayer then as Christians, come then, O Lord Jesus, from this body of sin, from our sins release us. Keep our hearts believing that we, grace receiving, ever may confess you till in heaven we bless you. The church's new year begins just as the old one ended. And this year will end just as it begins. Jesus is Lord from start to finish. The cross is the center of your life. I'm glad that you are here today. As strange as it sounds, I'm glad that you know your great need and your sin. For by them you know your great need for a Savior. The end is near, and Jesus is your only hope. Now is not the time to be silent. Now is the time to speak boldly in the face of the noise of this world, to cry out, to find your voice, to help share the good news. It is the advent of our King. Jesus is coming. Call your friends and your neighbors, your children and your grandchildren. Tell them about the sweet song of salvation. Tell them the wonderful news of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Tell them that you know where he is to be found. Bring them to Bible study. Bring them to a warm meal on Wednesday night and to evening prayer. Tell them that this little humble building on Newman Lane in Billings, Montana, holds something that they need. Don't be ashamed of King Jesus. Don't listen to the world and to the Pharisees who want you to join their song, to those who tell you to be silent about the Christ. Be part of the choir singing of Jesus, the Lord and King, in this new year. He has opened your lips. Let your voice be heard. As Advent begins with Palm Sunday and Holy Week, so too does your salvation. Your King comes to you and begins his work in you. There is no beginning but where this King who rides on a humble donkey, who hides himself under words and water and bread and wine, comes and is preached for salvation. Since that is true, let us partake of the feast. Let us sing the song of the saints of heaven. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.